Well, first of all, give Mississippi State credit. Congratulations to those guys. They're a very good football team. We started out in the hole. If we turned the ball over the very first two plays, we had it. We got in the hole. Their crowd got into it. I think a big factor in the game was our red zone offense not being able to score touchdowns. I think we had two field goals in the first half. We had one miss. That was a big factor in the game. Third quarter, we'd get close. Something would happen. And just never felt like we'd get that momentum. But bottom line is you got to give Mississippi State credit. They're a very good football team. We knew we were going to have to play well to beat them, and we didn't do that. They had something to do with that.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the Wishbone Podcast, brought to you in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host...
I'm John Ringer.
John, tonight's show is being brought to you by tequila. Tequila, it's what's for dinner. John, I want to talk to you a little bit before we really dig into things here about a question that's been tugging at my mind for the last 48 hours or so as we record this show on Monday night. Now, we obviously have a lot to dig into in a number of different areas and avenues. But first, I just want to ask this question. Does it seem to you, as it definitely does to me, that the losses just seem to hurt worse under this current regime, the Gus Malzahn era?
Let's be clear. You're talking about comparing these losses to 2012 losses?
Well,
or
no,
any other losses?
I don't know.
The last loss we had, this one, before this one, was in the national championship game.
Exactly.
So that one's going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's going to leave a mark.
It left a mark on my soul.
Leading the way we did the whole game and then losing at the end of the national championship game will do that.
You know,
so
that's really what we need to be talking about tonight is the dadgum national championship
game. I know.
Game.
But I'm saying, before that, the last loss was LSU. And at that point, we didn't know really what we had with this team. So,
right.
I think it hurts more because your expectations are higher because you were really attached to this team over the last year and, how they play and this coaching staff and these players. And it's really fun. And also because we know the potential is so high for this team and the rewards are there if they keep playing well to make it to the playoff and win the thing.
Yeah, I think that you hit on most all of the things I was thinking there. That's why I wanted to see if it came to you the same way. That's exactly it. I think it's a combination of the games feel bigger because there's so much more on the line than in the average year under Tuberville or Terry Bowden or whatever, or Chizik even, except for that one year. I think that we legitimately feel like we are conference and national contenders all the time with Gus and his staff in charge and with the players that they're bringing in. And I think that in some previous years, losing got to just feel kind of routine almost. You know, in years like the 7-5 years under Tuberville or 8-4 year under Terry Bowden or whatever, or even Pat Dye's last 3 years when things weren't going great. I mean, there have been seasons where we would be all up for a game and we'd lose and we'd be like, yeah, well, okay, we'll move on to the next week, see what happens. But
well, the other part is sometimes in those years you lose to teams that are just better than you, and you know it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but the difference with this year is that Auburn is one of about, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 of the best teams in the country. And it's not a big group, but it's – I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Auburn is in that group and Mississippi State's in that group. And, if you know, Ole Miss, Alabama, Florida State, a few other schools. And we'll – you know, we can talk about that more. But to me, it hurts because, you know that the potential is there and that only some of those teams you get to play for the national title. So.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely it. And ever since we really got things rolling in 2013 last year – it's really felt like we've stepped up to another level and become, like you say, one of the elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
And when the stakes are that high, I mean, the losses just don't feel routine. The reason that that was weighing upon my soul was because I had made a concerted effort in recent years to enjoy wins more than I used to and to not get down over losses as much. I mean, I really took – Louis Grizzard's famous quote to heart. You know, when I first heard his quote, I said, that is exactly right, and that's not how it should be, which is he said, losing hurts worse than winning feels good. And when I thought about that, I vowed that I would not let that be the case anymore, that I would enjoy wins more than I suffered losses. And for the most part, I've managed to more or less, you know, let that be true, and it's why I get so excited and happy when we win big games, is because I'm conscious of wanting to enjoy them more and not just take them for granted and say, oh, now on to the next thing, you know, because these things are not regular. These are not everyday events when we're challenging for titles and everything. This is not going to go on forever. We're going to enjoy this ride as long as it lasts, but you and I both know that inevitably something will happen. Gus will move on or retire or whatever he does, you know.
That's right. I mean, maybe he stays over 30 years, but at some point he's going to leave.
Yeah, and things
and
will change
at that
again.
Point, well, or you know, college football is cyclical. I mean, it may be a thing years down the road when you know defenses return to prominence and you know these spread high powered offenses are all shut down in college football, and things will be different. But so yeah, it's a very true statement you make, and I think. A lot of times, and you know, in our lives, we've kind of lost sight of that and let the losses eat us up and that kind of stuff. And I remember how that stupid Georgia Tech loss in 2002 still bugs me. But I, you know, you had those kind of things. I've really made the same kind of effort to just let it go a little bit more and not let the loss eat me up when we lose.
Exactly, so. And that's what kind of made me think this is that I've been fairly successful with that. Until the Florida State game, and I said, well, that was for the national championship, so I can't blame myself. But then this one hurt almost as much to me. I got so angry and frustrated and mad. I was having to watch it on the replay, and I was just sitting there on the couch, and I was just banging on the pillows and yelling and, you know, just wanting to actually, you know, smash my head through the wall a few times. And I kept thinking, and there's a part of you that looks at yourself from above and says, what are you doing? But that game was so frustrating because it was like, you know, getting back in the game just kept being dangled in front of our eyes over and over and over and then get snatched away and dangled and snatched away.
Yep.
And it you know, I mentioned on Twitter it was one of the most frustrating games I've ever witnessed. And somebody said, what about the 5 missed field goals at LSU game in 2005? And it was kind of like that. Because that game, too, was one where we kept feeling like if just one more thing would go right, we could win, you know? I felt like we outplayed Mississippi. After we got our act together halfway through the first quarter, I felt like we outplayed Mississippi State most of the rest of the game by and large. But we just could never quite get out of that hole, get that last step up out of the hole. And it was absolutely excruciating and infuriating.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Well, let's I guess we've got to. Let's look at it a little bit and let's look at kind of the big picture. What are your opening sort of thoughts about how things played out in Starkville?
I mean, I think the first is, you know, what I said at the beginning, that I think both Auburn and Mississippi State are really, really good teams. This hadn't changed my mind about how I view Auburn or how I view Mississippi State. I think both of them were among the top, you know, 7-8 teams in the country. So Mississippi State is an excellent team, and they, you know, we went into their stadium, and Auburn didn't play as well as they can play. That was the neither yeah. team did.
No, yeah, I agree.
I mean, and I think the biggest thing that happened in the game when I watched it again was, you know, Auburn got in that huge hole at the beginning of the game where nothing went right. And I think a lot of the problems that happened after that were Auburn players trying to do too much.
Yeah.
That we were behind and they were pressing. And on both sides of the ball, players were trying to, like, I'm going to get it all back right here.
That's a good
point.
And
so defensive players were like, I'm going to leave my assignment and go make a play here. And offensive players were like, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going down. I'm going to stay on my feet and keep battling through people. And then you getting up with, like, the Rock Thomas almost fumbling and Lewis fumbling and those kind of things. And I think some of those were genuinely, you know, guys trying to do too much and not just, you know, winding up and doing their jobs. And it's understandable because they're young people and it's a huge pressure situation and they want it so much. So I really think the falling behind in the first few minutes had a lot to do with how the rest of the game played out.
Yeah, that falling behind and everything that could possibly go wrong for a good team going wrong, the game that reminded me of was not one that a lot of people would think of. I don't think you'd have to be a little bit older, but the 87 Florida State game. Do you remember that game?
Is that the game where they came into Jordan-Hare and just crushed us?
Just crushed us. What happened was that 87 team was an excellent team, and that was the only game they lost the entire season. And that was the game they beat a good Florida team. They beat a pretty good Alabama team 10-0 in Birmingham. They beat Georgia. They beat everybody else that year. But for whatever reason, on like the first play of the game, Berger threw a pass out wide to maybe Duke Donaldson, and he fumbled it, and Florida State took it in for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And they never looked back. And the hole just got so big at the very beginning of that game, we could just never get back out. And so that was the one that made me think of – I mean, there have been other games where we do something incredibly horrible at the very beginning, like pick sixes or whatever. I mean, we used to have a quarterback, you know, in the late 90s who specialized in the opening play pick six. But
easy.
But for a good team, the only one that really comes to mind is just like imploding right out of the box like this one did was that 87 Florida State. The team that played Florida State in 87, that was just what made me think of.
The other thing that really surprised me is this Auburn team has so much experience on it. I really didn't think they would come out in the first few minutes and play like that on the road. Now, I mean, this is Mississippi State's formula. This is the same thing they did to LSU and Texas A&M is they jumped up both of them in the first 10 minutes or so and took control of those games and never looked back. The difference is Auburn, you know, they had to look back because Auburn was in the game. But I was really surprised by the kind of lack of poise that Auburn showed at the beginning of that game with some of those plays. Mm. And some of it was just one of those days where stuff just didn't work. You know, things that, you know, should have worked, you know, fell apart at the beginning of that game and everything went Mississippi State's way. And to Auburn's credit, you know, they did come back and make a game out of it and things continued to go against them as the game went on. But, you know, it really did surprise me, the lack of poise, but it this reminds me of something that I had kind of not thought about or wished this team. That is that winning on the road in the SEC and really good against really good teams is the hardest thing to do in college football. And, you know, we benefited last year from not having to play, you know, a lot of great teams on the road.
Yeah.
LSU was the best team we played on the road and we lost to them.
And add on to that the fact that we were now the team that had the biggest bullseye on us of any team that Mississippi State was going to play. And this was like their game of the century for them. This was their Super Bowl.
And we're getting that from everybody. We're going to continue to get that from everybody. So, Auburn just has to play better in those situations because we're going on the road. It is going to be everybody's Super Bowl.
Well, a couple of things that you made me think of. One is what you were just talking about is the reason why when I ranked my top five this week, I did not have Mississippi State number one. I mean that as no slight to them. That's not like taking a dig at them for beating us. If I felt like they were the best team, I would have. I felt like Auburn outplayed them after the first opening implosion. And if we had got turned around and played a doubleheader with them, we would have won. Or at least it would have been a lot more competitive because I felt like we played better. And Ole Miss just absolutely dominated Texas A&M, right? And so so I had Ole Miss first. And again, no slight to Mississippi State. Believe me, if I wanted to slight you, Mississippi State, I'd just play the Animaniacs theme again. But I just felt like Mississippi State, there were too many factors that went into how they played and how they won for me to say they were easily the number one team, and we're going to, of course, get into those as we go. Now, the other question I kind of have that I want to throw out there for us to think about, when we look at the way that this team is playing right now, Auburn, I ask you this in all seriousness, no fooling around. At the beginning of the season, when we looked at what we lost from this team last year and what was coming back and what was new, were we guilty of overestimating this team's legitimate potential?
No. No, I don't think we were. But I think you have to look at this team in a different way. I was going to bring this up in a minute, but
okay.
This team has all the potential in the world. I mean, I don't think – and we see the potential, and you know this team could play better – and could win every game on a schedule. I think that's absolutely within its grasp.
Yeah.
I think what we have to let go of is the idea that this team is going to turn into an exact carbon copy of 2013.
That's a very
good point. Because it's not. This is a very different team, and I think it can go and win all its games, but it's not going to be the same. Yeah. And I think constantly measuring this team, and especially the offense, against 2013 isn't helping it, and we have to just let it go. This is an excellent team. They're going to, I think the offense may be more of a throw it a lot more, spread them out, run the ball kind of offense that way, and not the power sledgehammer that last year was. But Gus can work with that. We know his offense can work with that, and I think it will be fine.
Well, I think people need to realize that there is not just one Gus Malzahn offense that he forces square pegs into round holes with.
That's exactly right. And that's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah. He is an incredibly adaptable coach. I mean, he has his main sort of approach and approaches that he's going to go every year. The hurry up, no huddle to some degree. The mobile quarterback when possible. He has all these things that he prefers. But as we've seen year in and year out, both at Arkansas State and at Auburn and at other places, he can take the pieces he's got and build something remarkable, no matter pretty much what the pieces are.
That's right. I mean, I still think the offense could be the best in the conference. I really do. But I think it may be the best in the conference in a different way than last year's offense.
I think that people are just going to have to forgive other Auburn fans like me. I'm not going to speak for you, but you guys are going to have to excuse fans like me who looked at what our offense was at the end of last season, and maybe we're just dreaming, and maybe it's time for us just to admit that, and I think that's kind of what you're sort of suggesting here that we should do, obviously. It's just so hard to let go of that juggernaut. We wanted to see it again so badly that we understand that it's not going to happen probably, certainly not in that way. You're not going to see a 300-yard rushing game from Cameron Artis Payne. You're just not.
Mm-mm.
But, man, it would be so nice.
Yeah, the 2013 team is not walking through that door, man.
That's right. Now I gotta go find that.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
Okay, well, let's move into more specifics now.
All right.
go ahead. I mean, you kind of put together our little agenda tonight as usual. So what are your first thoughts that you want to kind of lead us on this discussion?
I want to run through a few specific things that happened in the very first few minutes of the game that I thought were just huge plays. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very big thing. And people, this is the thing, like people want to talk about the end or the Codes pass interference. I really think the entire game was ultimately decided in the first 8 minutes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I think everything after that was kind of, you know, window dressing.
Okay.
Here's an example. The very first series of the game, nobody even remembers this. Mississippi State got the ball and punted. Mm-hmm. They had when they punted, none of their linemen were set. And Auburn guys were running free at the punter. Nobody blocked them.
Mm-hmm.
We came within a hair of blocking the punt on the first Mississippi State series of the game.
Yeah, I was wondering, how was that even a play? If the offensive linemen aren't set, isn't that a dead ball penalty and automatically minus 5 yards and do it over again? I don't understand how you can take the results of a play that never happened.
I agree. I don't understand why it wasn't false start, but they called something else, you know.
They let us
illegal shift or something. Yeah, they let us decline and take the
catch. How do you decline a dead ball penalty? That's insane. I mean, in terms of, I mean, a play that never happened can't be declined. You know what I'm saying.
I agree.
All right.
So Auburn gets the ball, pass is tipped. You know, Duke is wide open, pass is tipped and intercepted. Our Auburn's first play. You know, our right guard Slay got pushed right back into the quarterback, and the defensive lineman got his hand up and tipped it.
I've got to question Gus's decision to start Jeff Klein on the first play of scrimmage.
All right. Mississippi State's first play, when they get the ball back right after interception, they fumble, they recover. Auburn came within a hair recovering that.
Yes,
So we have kind of the missed opportunity in the punt block and the missed opportunity Mississippi State drops the ball.
Ugh.
Then third and 11 comes along. Okay, mm-hmm. Auburn blitzes. There's a pass over the middle, pass kind of on the left side to Wilson. Auburn does a bad job in coverage, bat and terrible tackling, and he runs into the end zone. And we blitzed, and the pass rush was like a tenth of a second too late. The guy hit Dak Prescott in the waist as he was releasing the ball.
Yeah.
And that's one of those ones where you say, you know, D4, Carl Lawson, somebody come save us, get some freaking pressure on the quarterback. And that was the theme throughout the day, I think, where Auburn was a step too late getting to Prescott.
Yeah. Yep.
So
I saw that.
That's where it started. You know, Auburn's first play, we throw it to Duke. He fumbles. And it was a routine play. He caught it. The guy made a good tackle, got his helmet on the ball. You don't see anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State gets the ball. They would run a really good play call where through formation, they send the guy in motion the way they lined up. They had you know, no receiver on the right-hand side, just a tight end. He goes out. The safety on the right-hand side covers him. And the running back runs out of that side. Nobody covers him. He gets, you know, like 20 yards, and they get first and goal. They kick off. Rock Thomas fumbles.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is kind of how things are going in the first few minutes of the game. And I'm not trying to open the wound or whatever, but I'm just trying to talk about all these gigantic swings that went against Auburn and also some of these things that could have gone the other way.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, you know, that's a series. We had the huge pass down the middle to Duke, brought back because of holding.
Ugh,
okay.
Gosh.
And then we throw a screen to Coates and he drops it.
Ugh.
So, I mean, that play down the middle to Coates, you know, we were in there into the field. That was a huge play, call back for holding. Then they get the ball. They run down the field. It's about 7:50 left in the first quarter. Auburn blitzes, you know, Prescott hits the running back down the sideline. Auburn's too late on the pass rush. You know, we rush six guys. They keep six guys in the block. None of our guys get by him. That's it. The next play, they throw a pass. Therese falls down. And then it's pass interference in the end zone on Trevon Reed. You know, and now it's 21-0.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that without going into that kind of detail with the rest of the game, I think those first few minutes – it was just gigantic roller coaster back and forth and back and forth. Both teams made a ton of mistakes, but Auburn, you know, continually made terrible mistakes on both sides of the ball to let Mississippi State get complete control of the game. And it, you know, so it was 21-0 from that point, right?
Oh yeah.
So, and what was the final score of the game?
38-23.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that point on, Auburn won, you know, 23-17.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I said. We won the game after that opening disaster. Absolutely. That's why I don't have them ranked number one.
So say it, and in there we also got the missed field goal. Then we come down and, you know, kick a field goal. We should have scored a touchdown. So that, all those things together, I think, were in the first part of the game, really are things that kind of messed it all up.
Yeah, well, it took us off track. All the little things that you just cited, and then the things later in the game where like the phantom pass interference on Coates on his bomb, you know, later and everything, all those were ways that we couldn't get back in the game. But what killed us early on was that we created enough chances on defense early on to get to tie the game up or take the lead, mm-hmm. and we got in the red zone. And missed a field goal, settled for a field goal, you know. I mean, I'm not questioning Gus's decision to kick field goals, because if you're actually like gaining nothing or losing ground on first, second, and third down inside the 10, it's very unlikely you're suddenly going to score a touchdown on fourth down. So,
well, but you get back to that, maybe run the ball on second or third down and try, you know, and get 2 or 3 yards, and then you keep going that way. You get 2 or 3 yards every time, and then you're in the end zone.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, if you've come to the point that it's 4th and 11 or something.
Oh, no. You got to kick the field goal.
You got to get points.
Sure.
And it would have been enough. I mean, if we'd made all three of those, four of those field goals, right?
I didn't have a problem with them kicking the field goal late in the game. That mathematically, that was the right decision.
Right, absolutely, so. Exactly. So the field goals were the right decision. The problem was that it came to that at all. The problem was that our play calling. I don't know. I'm not trying to question the play calling. While we're breaking down various parts of the game, this is the thing I mentioned on Twitter, and I want to get your thoughts about it. There was a stretch, okay, and of course, you know. Here's what I encounter on Twitter. Can I just gripe for just a minute?
Go ahead, Vin.
Thank you. Here's what I encounter on Twitter. It's the equivalent of this. This is my analogy, all right? Hey, Grandmama. I love you so much, Grandmama. You're the best grandma ever. I love you so much. Hey, Grandmama, I think there's a little too much salt in my soup. Van, why do you hate your grandmother? That's what I get every time that I ask any questions or raise any issues about any form of execution of our offense, I get, why do you hate Auburn? Basically is what I get. And that's ridiculous. Can we not say, you know, there's an issue that probably needs to be addressed. I wonder what the coaches are going to do about X. Wow, I sure am glad that we have the best coaches in the country. And if anybody can address it and solve it, it will be our coaches. And yet all that people hear is, there's more complaining from Van. Good gosh. If you are listening, if you are within the sound of my voice right now, and you're one of our Twitter folks, I love you to death, but please take this to heart. When I point out an issue that I hope will be addressed by our brilliant staff and by our fantastic players, I'm saying it positively and with love. I'm not complaining, okay? Thank you. Now, this is my issue. Yes, yes.
We return to our regularly scheduled program.
Thank you. This is my issue that I was questioning, okay, this week. There was a stretch of about 3 possessions at the end of the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth when we were trying to get back in the game. Mm-hmm. And I understand that we felt like we needed to throw the ball, because throwing the ball gave us our best chance to win against this team. I get that. But there was a stretch of like 8, 9, 10 passes in a row, it seemed like. Maybe I'm overstating that, but I know it was at least one entire series and maybe 2 back-to-back where we were throwing passes all 3 downs. And Nick, It may be the rain. It may, you know, the ball was wet. Maybe his shoes were too tight. Maybe he wasn't holding his mouthpiece right. I don't know why, but for some reason, he was overthrowing his receivers by like 10 feet every single play. Now, do you remember that?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So I was questioning. That was to me when we really if we lost the game in the first 10 minutes or whatever, I think that we lost the comeback during that stretch, because there were stretches where our defense was stopping Mississippi State, but our offense would go out and go three and out and not run the ball a single time.
Yep.
And if they had run the ball, wouldn't it have been interesting to see Rock back out there again? Because in the on the one drive that he played serious downs, he took us right down the dang field.
He did. I think it's two things there. One, I think you're going to get your wish and you're going to see Rock more. I do think on the series when Rock played, the second string defense for Mississippi State was in.
Well, that's interesting to note. That is interesting.
I think they were. I think we'll go back and look. I think that series they were in. And then what happened is we drove down the field with the second string defense in, and then we got down like first and goal, and they put the first string back in, and then they stopped us. But first string, second string, whoever, he looked great.
Well, you know that when we got down inside the red zone there, we took Rock out and put Cap back in.
I know, but
I'm just saying it's definitely fair to point that out about the defenses, but it's also fair to point out that it was a different offense that was trying to score from the one that took us down the field.
And also that he needs to get the ball more. I think he really, I mean, whoever it was, those were SEC players out there, and he showed something. And I know they're worried he's a freshman. They're worried about
protection,
you know, having a pass protection. He's going to get run over and get Nick Marshall killed or whatever. But, I think he really gave the offense a spark.
Yeah.
And I think we got to get him the ball. I expect his carries to go way up in the next couple of weeks.
He really does look a lot like Carnell running.
He does. The body lean forward.
And the spin move.
Yep.
The C button or whatever to call it.
Yeah. You know. But just the effort, it was really, really the offense needed it. And he gave it to him. It was great.
I mean, bless Cap's heart. I love him to death. But you just don't see. I mean, there's no doubt that he hammers away down in the trenches. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. I take absolutely nothing. I commend Cameron Artis Payne for the tough, hard-nosed running he does down in the trenches. But you just don't see him doing that. It's like Cameron Artis Payne is trying to run like Trey Mason. Mm-hmm. But Trey had kind of this little explosion where he'd go between the knees of the guys that were trying to tackle him almost and get 5 yards. And I'm just not quite sure. I just feel like that there's a way to use Cameron Artis Payne that they haven't done yet that would be the most effective. And I don't know what that is.
I don't know if there is. I think we're kind of getting what we're going to get out of him.
Mm. Yeah. He's kind of our Stacey Danley.
He is. I think that's a pretty fair comparison. We need to talk about the officiating. And as a general rule, we don't whine about officiating here, but I would point out that, and no one will expect this, but Mississippi State had more penalties on them than Auburn did in this game.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But every single Auburn penalty was a super critical penalty at a huge point in the game.
Yeah, it was the consequentialness of them that mattered.
It was. One was on that Duke Williams pass down the middle. One was the Coates play in the end zone where he stepped out of bounds. You know, one was the pass interference at the end on Jones. One was the pass interference on Reed in the end zone that gave him first and goal. So that's four. We had just gotten first and goal, and we had the play where the guy ran off the field and ran back on the field. I think it was Braden Smith, ran back on the field and got in the formation, and they called the illegal procedure on us, whatever. So, that backed us up 5 yards when it was first and goal. So that's five of the six penalties right there that really, really took, good things away from circumstances.
It seemed like every one of the penalties that we got either took away a potential touchdown from us or gave them one.
Yes, it really did. I mean, it's not like penalties that don't matter. These penalties mattered. So
absolutely.
All right. What did you think about the end of the game and Auburn trying to come back and the, kicking the field goal and then rolling up and down the field and that stuff?
I thought we had a chance till the, almost the very end. I mean, I never gave up hope. That's one of the reasons why it, again, was so frustrating, is that it felt like we were in that game till the bitter end.
Well, and it's also like nobody in that stadium wanted the Auburn team after 2013 within one score of them.
Yeah.
I mean, with like a minute left in the ball, nobody in that stadium wanted that situation, because if we had scored at the end where he threw the interception at the goal line on the ball where his arm got hit.
Right.
If we score there, we go onside kick, we get the ball left.
38 to 30 or 38 to 31.
Right. People in that stadium are, they're losing it. They're absolutely panicking. The Mississippi State sideline was melting down before that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really were losing their composure a little bit.
Oh, the relief on Mullen's face when the game was over was so obvious.
Well, I mean, you could see it. They were not keeping it together well there. So I think, seeing what Auburn did at the end of games and seeing what Auburn did to them at the end of games just 13,
mm-hmm.
I think they were really, really starting to lose it at the end with the idea that Auburn's going to get the ball back down one score.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and once again, I mean, let's see, remind me what caused Nick's pass to be intercepted at the goal line at the end?
Defensive lineman hit his arm.
Okay, so the opening pass, his first pass was deflected by a lineman, and mm-hmm. his last pass was his arm was deflected by a lineman.
Yes.
I sense a problem there.
Well, and this is something that you and I were emailing about today. He had 13 quarterback pressures on him in that game, which was the most by any Auburn quarterback since 2007.
Good gosh.
And you think back to all those plays where Nick Marshall ran out of the – there were guys in the backfield. And he spun away and ran around and made something happen. I mean, there was a lot of Houdini kind of going on, Johnny Manziel kind of stuff back there.
Oh, yeah.
Where the defense was all over him and he got away from people and made stuff happen out of a yardage situation. A lot of other quarterbacks would have gotten sacked right to throw the ball away.
Hey, the video clip that the athletic department put out yesterday or today – of just the highlights, they don't show mm-hmm. the bad stuff. It was 5 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Plays.
And that one play where he spins away and throws it to Marcus Davis, yeah. and Marcus Davis does a flip and gets knocked out of bounds. It's an amazing play.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's two things there. One is offensive line protection, and the other is you got to give Mississippi State some credit. They have the best defensive line in the SEC, I think.
Yeah.
And that guy. I want to say it's P.J. Wilson. It's been SEC Defensive Player of the Week 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
And he really is kind of this year's D4 in the SEC. He's in the backfield all the time against everybody. And, Texas A&M has some future NFL guys in their offensive line. He abused them, and he abused Auburn guys. So defensive lines like that don't grow on trees, and we're not going to see those guys again. So, it was a lot of pressure in the backfield. There was a lot of guys in Nick's face and chasing him around and stuff. That really hampered the offense. I think it really held things back.
Yeah.
The one other thing I want to say about this is Sammy Coates had a terrible game. He dropped the screen pass. He had a couple other long passes they didn't connect on.
Back in the end zone.
Yeah, the back of the end zone, stepping out of bounds play where he lost where he was. I just think he really, and then the pass interference thing wasn't his fault.
No, but it just – when it rains, it pours sometimes.
Right. But really after last week, you thought, oh, he's back to being the man. But this was really not an effective game for him. So,
well, you got to think that we'll get it back together. I mean, honestly, all – trying not to jinx them aside or anything. And again, if I had that kind of power, I would use it. I would use it for other things, enriching myself and my family, for example. You got to think that we're going to take a week off, kind of put it in the rearview mirror, refocus, figure some things out, and just beat the snot out of South Carolina.
Oh, 100%.
And that'll make things a little better, and we'll get rolling again. And we can, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk at some point about scenarios. It's probably too early to even do that. Right now, I think we just need to keep winning and let all the other stuff work itself out later.
Well, let's. Do we want to talk anymore about Mississippi State?
I don't want to talk about them at all.
Well, I want to say a couple things about the defense.
Okay.
All year long, I mean, we talked about how great that stat was last week when we recorded about the SEC, you know, stopping teams on third down.
Right, right.
But that didn't work in this game.
No.
You know, Mississippi State was 8-for-17 on third down. And, you know, that was bad. Auburn did a bad job. A lot of that was pass rush, where they were throwing the ball, we couldn't get to them. And some of it was tackling. Some of it was run defense, where it was short, and they pulled ahead and got it. But I think there were some real tackling issues in this game we hadn't seen. And some of it was the pass rush, where Prescott's a very good quarterback. We can't give him that much time, and he made plays. I thought the secondary played pretty well, given, you know, the guys they were trying to guard, and, you know, they were out there man-to-man. I have to say it's so refreshing to not be in the Gene Chizik, you know, play way off the guy, 15 yards off the receiver kind of thing, and just give the 10-yard pass to him every single time. To be in people's face and playing press coverage more and that kind of stuff. And but there was tackling issues, and there was missed assignment issues. There's one of the plays where they score a touchdown. They were at the goal line. It was like third and six or so, and third and goal at the 6-yard line, and the 10 or so even maybe. And we come up in this defense, but there's no safeties in the middle of the field. We're playing man-to-man coverage, and everybody's up at the line of scrimmage. And Chris Frost runs to the wrong hole, and Dak Prescott runs through the hole where he's supposed to be covering and walks into the end zone. And that's just a mistake that he made that gave it up. So the last thing I want to talk about in this game is we had a huge advantage of special teams and didn't take advantage of it. I mean, their backup punter was in the game, their kicker was bad, and it didn't make any. I think we have really good kick returners, and their kick returner was out. They dropped the ball on a return, and we didn't take advantage of it at all.
Right. No.
We missed a field goal. We had no good returns, you know. So that kind of thing, and we fumbled the ball ourselves on a kickoff, and we almost fumbled it another time. So I really think that was an area where we had an advantage and didn't use it. So
well, like I say, I mean, if we had a rematch with them either right after the game or a month from now or in the semifinals or the finals of the playoffs, if we should be so fortunate to get there now. I feel totally confident that we could have a decent shot at taking them down. I'm sure not scared of them. I never have been, but yeah. I'm less intimidated of them now. Let's put it this way. The performance they put on against us was impressive in that they won and did the things they had to do to win, but it also showed a lot of vulnerabilities.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we would all look at that performance and say, wow, Auburn can play so much better than that. And here, like at the end of the game, here's what it comes down to. They average 5.9 yards per play. We average 5.7 per play.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of comes down to.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that we got to do better, though. So, all right. Factoid of the week time.
Factoid of the week. I have a sound effect.
Factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
Woo! Yes, indeed, John. We have a factoid of the week for this week. Our very popular feature, and by popular, I mean with me. I don't know if anybody else cares, but I like it. I looked around a little bit this afternoon to kind of find one, and I found one that kind of branches into another. If Mississippi State should go on and make it to the SEC championship game, it would not be the first time that they played there. Many people don't remember that they are one of the teams who actually has played in Atlanta before, unlike Ole Miss. Mississippi State has been there once. In 1998, Tennessee beat Mississippi State in the SEC championship game 24-14. But here's a couple of weird things about it. One, Mississippi State ran back a 70-yard pick six on T. Martin in the first quarter and led 7-0. And then later in the game, they ran back an 83-yard punt return in the fourth quarter. So all 14 of Mississippi State's points in that game, one was on a defensive interception, a pick six, and one was on a punt return. The offense total had about 130 yards in that game on Tennessee's defense. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Tennessee won the game by scoring two touchdowns in a space of 32 seconds in the fourth quarter. So they just ripped Mississippi State's hearts out and stomped on them with seconds to go in the game to complete Tennessee's undefeated season and take them off to play for the national championship game. I was at that game because I lived in Atlanta, and silly me.
Bought tickets
because the year before we were there and had just barely lost to Tennessee. And I just naturally assumed we'd be back the next year. Alas, that next season, the 1998, when Mississippi State won the West, Auburn finished last in the West at 1-7 in SEC play. The only win was over Ole Miss, coached by
Houston Nutt?
Tommy Tuberville.
Oh!
And we then hired him the very next season.
Nice.
The only team that Terry Bowden in the SEC that Terry Bowden's Tigers beat in 98 was Tommy Tuberville's Ole Miss. And we hired him the next season, at the end of that season. So it's kind of a convoluted factoid of the week, but I thought it was kind of interesting and all kind of linked together like that. So there's your factoid of the week. What else do we have on the agenda tonight?
Before we get into questions, let's look ahead a little bit, and I have a couple of questions for you. Ready?
Sure.
I guess the first one is, do you think this team can take advantage of the week off and have the kind of improvement and turnaround to the same degree that last year's team had?
No, but that's because what last year's team did was astonishing. They think about the team that barely eked out a win against Washington State. And then think about the team that hammered Tennessee into a thin paste.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams didn't resemble – you wouldn't have thought they were even in the same conference, those two teams. So the improvement that we made over the course of last season was so amazing. I can't imagine hardly any team doing that. But I do think that they can improve. And I do think that in 2 weeks when they go out and play South Carolina, they will be clicking. They will know what their strengths are better. They will know what not to do. They will have some changes to the offensive line maybe or maybe not, but they'll feel better about it. And I think they'll make some adjustments that'll help Nick not be deflected every time he tries to throw the ball. You notice how whenever something happens once, it's like every team we play picks up on it and starts doing it.
Yep.
So
it's true.
That's my view. What do you think?
I do. I mean, I think we both have a lot of confidence in the coaches, and I think this is the perfect time for them to have a week off. Everybody to go back and seriously look at it. Go, you know what? Here's all the things that we're not doing well. We're going to rip out of the playbook and throw away. Here's all the things we do well. We're going to practice those until they're perfect execution wise. And then we're going to figure out, you know, which guys need to be getting the ball and who needs to be on the field on both sides.
Yeah.
And play our best guys on a more regular basis. So I think that's going to help. And I do think, the second half of the schedule doesn't look quite as scary as it did beforehand. So I think South Carolina doesn't scare me at all, and it's nice to have them next after the bye week.
Here's a question for you. Just for no reason other than it occurred to me, no hidden agenda here or anything, just a simple question. If Steve Spurrier were coaching this Auburn team, would he be alternating Jeremy Johnson and Nick every other player every other series?
I don't know.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, I don't think he would, because I think when you see Spurrier do that kind of stuff, do yank the quarterback thing, it's not because of the stuff that's been going on with Nick Marshall. Like
that's true. It's when they're bad.
Well, it's when they do the really stupid interception.
And he starts getting all frustrated and gets his little angry look. Yeah, it's always hilarious. Okay. Next.
So, all right. Do we have to kind of let go? This is something I talked about earlier, but do we have to let go of the idea that this team is going to run the ball like 2013?
Yes, absolutely. It's time for us to admit we need to stop pretending and just admit This team is not going to ever run the ball like the 2013 team, but it will find other ways to be successful.
I think that's exactly right.
It's a different team, as you said very clearly earlier.
Well, and they're averaging 5.5 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
It's third in the SEC. It's one of the better teams in the country. It's not terrible, but it's not 2013.
We might not ever see for a long time another running attack that does what Auburn's running attack did in the last 4 or 5 games of last year. But they didn't do it all season either.
That's right.
They only did it at the very end. So, you know.
But I agree. We have to let that go. I think the offense overall, again, can be as productive.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot more passing, and it's going to be running in a different way.
Well, we've got to remember that what we thought we were getting at the beginning of this season was the entire offensive line from last year back except for one guy. And instead, we have very different offensive line. It's been shuffled and reshuffled. Yeah. There's multiple people missing for the whole season. This is not – what when we previewed or what we were thinking of originally, what it would be. And that's fine. I mean, stuff happens. That's fine. It's not a complaint. It's not a criticism. It's just a fact.
It's real. Yeah. And I think there's a chance they may shuffle it again before the next game.
Sure.
Miller didn't start in this game. And, you know, they could put him back in there. They could, you know, Danzy played well at guard. They could leave him in there, take him out, or they could, you know, could play the freshman Braden Smith more. They had a tight end jersey on him, and they were playing him some in that position in this game as an extra blocker. So,
I must break you.
I think that's fair. All right, let's run through a couple of the remaining games, and I want you to give me your confidence level that Auburn is going to win the game on a 1 to 10 scale, okay? Mm-hmm. 1 is we're not going to win, and 10 is we're 100% going to win.
Okay.
All right, are you ready for this?
So 10 is we're absolutely going to win.
Yes. All right. South Carolina.
8.
At Ole Miss.
4.
Home Texas A&M.
6.
That's higher than that. At Georgia.
Well, you know, before Missouri, I was like, oh, Georgia's a high school team this year. Holy crap. They opened up a big old can on Truman's boys, didn't they?
Missouri sucks. I lost Indiana.
Well, okay, so at Georgia, 7.
We're skipping Stanford because that's 10. At Alabama.
It's at Alabama. It's Alabama. I can't go above 5 in that game, even in a bad Alabama year.
That's fair. And we'll get to their performance this weekend in a minute. All right.
That's an off-Broadway performance.
All right, we got some listener questions for
you. Yay, listener questions.
All right. his first question is funny. What's Auburn's record under Gus when it rains?
It's probably 0-2.
That's from J. Michael Wooten.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there have been other games that it rained.
Well, let's be clear. But, you know, road game in the rain, we need to not schedule them anymore. It's an issue.
No, yeah. We need to put that in the contract. Kind of like Van Halen with the brown M&Ms. You know, if it's raining, we have to get back on the bus. I'm sorry we can't play today. I guess we'd forfeit, though, so that probably wouldn't be a great idea.
All right, here's a question from Albeese.
Yeah.
Who says, what would you say to those who are calling for Jeremy Johnson to be the first team quarterback?
What would I say about them?
Now, what would you say to them?
What would I call them?
What would you say to them about stop. What would you say to them to explain why Nick should be the first team quarterback?
You have said it well in the past. There's no player more popular than the backup quarterback. Auburn happens to be in a situation right now where our starting quarterback, as gifted and amazing as he is, he has gone through some issues and some growing pains this year, and we have a very, very good raw young passer as the backup. And so when it starts looking like passing is the answer, it's understandable to start thinking maybe we need to put the quarterback that's maybe a little better passer in there. I get that. But the things that Nick brings to the table beyond just his passing accuracy, I mean, for every time that he overthrows a receiver, he's done 3 things that kept a play alive, kept the drive alive, and kept us moving.
And ran for a first down.
Yeah, exactly. So as I've said over and over and over, he is not the problem. I mean – He does some things, yes, that are problems, but he does a lot more things that are positives. It's hard to include that in a tweet, and so people read me the wrong way, but that's the fact.
I think the other thing is I think Jeremy Johnson would have been sacked about 8 times in this
game. Oh, gosh, yeah.
All right. What do you think – here's a question from Mike Tweets, is Mike Kirshner. What do you think is behind the penalty flag discrepancy? He says holding and pass interference seem lopsided. Is it just my orange and blue glasses?
No, it was definitely lopsided. And like we said a minute ago, it was in consequential moments too. So what do you make of it? You said, is there a conspiracy? What's the deal?
No, I mean, I just think the officials were really inconsistent during the course of that game about what was pass interference. But, you know, I just think it was not the best SEC crew. That's all I think.
Well, the rule they were going by seemed to be if Auburn had the ball, it was offensive pass interference. If Mississippi State had the ball, it was defensive pass interference. That was very simple. They could stay consistent that way.
All right. Our next question comes from L. August 5, who says –
Yes, Colonel. That's the Colonel. Sir,
who says, does Auburn have road game issues? Have teams learned how to defend Marshall and the Auburn zone read? So answer the road game question first. Do we have road game issues?
Well, I mean, road games in the SEC, it's like saying, do we have issues if sticking our arm into a meat grinder? Well, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, so I think it's fair to say that any team in the SEC probably has road game issues. You've got to be a juggernaut to really go on the road. And I mean, think about it. Even Cam's team had those horrible struggles in the first half at Alabama. So it's just tough. It's just a hard thing to do. And then, you know, you throw in the fact that we're still kind of at this late date, still struggling with our exact offensive identity. The very fact that we're talking about putting in a different running back shows you that we are still struggling with some issues. We're talking about quarterback potential controversies. I mean, we're talking about the offensive line. We're talking about problems with our really good receivers. You know, I mean,
I thought this team would be better on the road just because they have a lot of guys that have played in big games, but it still affects them.
Yeah.
It still affects everybody. It's human nature. So,
yeah.
And what was the other part? Do you think teams have learned how to defend the zone read?
I think that they've figured out some things since last year that make it harder.
Well,
but I think that execution and players goes a long way too.
Right. I mean, there's two things. One is some teams, they did not play the same kind of defense that Kansas State played, that Florida State played against us in the championship game, which is really designed to focus on the zone read. Part of it is Mississippi State is just, you know, one of the best 3 or 4 rushing defense teams in the country. Yeah. They are. They got a bunch of guys that are going to make NFL money in the front 7 of the defense. That middle linebacker, McKinley, Bernardrick McKinley, is like Patrick Willis, or he's like a Taquio Spikes kind of player. He's going to make a lot of money in the NFL. So
I thought those were very good questions. I think that it's disturbing to me that our team is still struggling with those sort of things that he was asking about this late in the season. And I hope that we can maybe this off week, you know, we can get it together.
But also I think after last year, you got every defensive coordinator in the SEC that has us on their schedule spent a lot of time on the zone.
Right? Oh yeah.
Teaching their defense, recognize, here's what you do. And so the play just wasn't going to be as effective. And then you take away the, you know, Trey Mason, and then the offensive line issues, and it is. But there were times in that game when we really fooled them, and Marshall picked up gains on us. And we're going to continue to do it. And it may be a thing where they go back and practice it a million times and tweak a few things, and it works fine. But I think it's still going to stay in the arsenal, but it's not going to be as devastating as it was last year. Here's a question from Wardam Wade. He says, did we just clear the toughest remaining game on the schedule? Or is that Georgia if Gurley comes back?
No, I think it's Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, out of all the games we have, so you would say this Ole Miss was tougher than this game we played this weekend?
Yes.
See, I would say Mississippi State is tougher. Here's what I would say about the two of them. I think Ole Miss's defense is the single best unit on either side of the ball in the SEC right now.
Yes.
But I think Ole Miss's inability to run the ball is a real issue, and it's going to come back to bite them at some point.
I think that Ole Miss is going to has a better chance of running the table the rest of the way than Mississippi State does. But I think Mississippi State has a better, slightly better chance of winning the Egg Bowl. And that's going to be a heck of an Egg Bowl, isn't it?
Yep. Be a great game. All right. Our next question comes from Auburn Tweep, who says, should we be worried about the general reaction from players, coaches, fans, the Mississippi State losses? It's no big deal.
I haven't heard that. Have you?
Well, I think people aren't wailing in the streets or whatever.
I haven't heard anybody on the Auburn side say, nah, no big deal.
I think people are like, we got this. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're not panicking, and that's a good thing. But yeah. I think there's a difference between, you know, panicking. There's a difference between being nonchalant and just feeling like we're confident. You know, there's a qualitative difference there.
Well, also, and I think it goes back to what you said about if the team's played five times or whatever, I think Auburn would win three.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, and I think Auburn knows that. I think the players know that. Like, they know, like, man, we screwed up a bunch of times in that game. We got to go back and fix all that stuff so we're not in that situation again.
But they're not panicking. They don't suddenly feel like our system doesn't work. Our coaches don't know what they're doing.
That's the team that is now ranked number one in the country, and I think they feel like if they played them again, they would beat them. So and that does give you a certain amount of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question from
– Hey, let me ask you this. What team is currently ranked number one in the Sagarin ratings?
That'd be Auburn.
Is Mississippi State number two?
I think maybe Ole Miss is two, State is three.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I had there.
All right.
just moving on.
Well, I would say there's another statistical ranking I like better than that one, which is the Bill Conley's S&P Plus ranking, which looks at efficiency of teams on an offensive, defensive basis, on a per-play basis. And in that ranking, which is adjusted based on how tough the schedule you played, I think here's the top four in the whole country is Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Alabama, Auburn, top four.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn is second on offense in that one and eighth on defense, I think. So, I mean, as you know, we're pulling our hair out about the offense, and this is this guy running this site where he ranks, you know, every single offense in the country based on efficiency and every single play, what they're doing, and Auburn comes out second when you run the numbers.
I know, and then people tell me to shut up because the offense is fine, because just look at the statistics, and I'm like, okay, well, I won't watch the actual games where we, you know, struggle or lose. I'll just look at the statistics.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is like that offense can play better, and I think we know it can.
Yes.
And it just gives me a little reassurance.
Grandmama, there's too much salt in my soup.
Yeah. All right. Here's the next question from Rusty Owens. In your opinion, how much of the loss was how poorly we executed versus how much of it was how well Mississippi State played?
Yeah, well, I think that how well Mississippi State played actually kept us in the game and let us almost come back. I think it was our miscues and the suspicious decisions of the Zebras that was the major impact on because I think that if we play again and everything is even, we win. So it wasn't that Mississippi State outplayed us. It was that certain factors contributed.
Well, but if you had to pick one or the other, Auburn lack of execution doing a poor job or Mississippi State doing a good job, which one would you pick?
Auburn not getting it done.
Right. I think I agree with you. All right, and his other question is, do you see Mississippi State losing a game?
Yeah. Probably Ole Miss.
How about
at
Kentucky in a couple weeks?
Oh, please. I am not drinking the Kentucky Kool-Aid. I'm sorry.
We'll get to that.
It tastes of bluegrass. I'm all in
on the Kentucky Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you can be all in Kentucky.
All right. Ross Hatcher says, is it too soon to say that Ben Tate and Trey Mason are both better than Mark Ingram? And that's it. No, probably not. That's an NFL question, but no, it's not.
No.
All right. Let's go around the SEC. Last week, besides our game, Ole Miss beat Texas A&M pretty badly.
Yeah, I see that. I didn't ever see the end of it. I hadn't seen the score till now. You say 35-20. Wasn't it like 35-0?
It wasn't that big, but they were up on a big. I mean, A&M threw a bunch of passes in the second half.
A&M are kings of the backdoor cover, aren't they?
Well, and they're kings of like the this isn't a cover because they lost by 15.
Well, but you know what I mean. I mean, they're the kings of coming back late with the beauty, the vanity.
Yeah, they're kings of like a gazillion passing yards in the second half when the game is out of hand.
Right.
The other huge one was last weekend was Alabama won at Arkansas 14-13. On a game where they blocked an extra point, right. In which the officials today admitted they made an error and let the clock run out at the end of that game when Arkansas should have got the ball back.
Oh, God. Here's the thing. As you know, I was about 3 or 4 hours behind real time. Mm-hmm. So I was watching the Auburn game during the Alabama-Arkansas game and recording it and then recording Ole Miss A&M, and I was going to watch them staggered, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, when I turned off the Auburn game and turned on real-time Alabama-Arkansas, I immediately just deleted the recording.
It's so good.
I had no desire to subject myself to 14-13. And, I mean, just watching the – oh, my gosh. Just watching the last 5 minutes of that game was like they hold Alabama, Alabama punts. Arkansas throws an incomplete pass, punts. Hold Alabama, punt. Arkansas, incomplete, punt. And it just went back and forth. Like, I'm like, this is the worst football game I've ever seen. I'm surprised it's in 3-2.
But again, that's the team they beat 52-0 last year.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, the ramifications and the fact that it was close is great, but it was just ugly. Oh, Lord. God.
The best part of that game for me was the fact that, late in the second half, Alabama had 2 rushing yards. 2. The vaunted Alabama offense with Yeldon and Derrick Henry had 2 rushing yards against Arkansas. This is not Ole Miss or Mississippi State.
Right.
The Alabama offensive line is not in a good place right now. I think that Ole Miss game really messed them up.
Yeah.
And
what's your diagnosis of what's going on with Alabama right now?
Well, some of it is, again, what did we talk about road games a minute ago?
Yeah.
They just played at Ole Miss, and they played at Arkansas. And Arkansas, took advantage of learning what Ole Miss did that really worked for them. Mm-hmm. And I think Alabama, from I'm sure Nick Saban's perspective, is they got a little too pass happy. They're a little too spread, mm-hmm. a little too throw the ball around too much. They'd be better off lining up and running Derrick Henry 45 times a game than doing what they're doing. So – and I think in the future we're going to see them get back to some of that. But, they could not run the ball at Arkansas. They could not push. And this is – remember Auburn did okay, especially in the second half against Arkansas. They ran up and down the field on them. So
Alabama needs to ride Derrick Henry like the knee cartilage in his knees is something that is evil and must be eliminated from the universe. Yeah.
But so that I think that was big, and now that but they have the cure for what ails them. They get the Texas A&M defense this weekend.
Oh
so.
Lord, yeah, that'll be interesting.
Georgia crushed Missouri.
I can't believe it.
I blame the fact that you were in a Missouri jersey earlier today.
I know I rolled my Missouri jersey out.
100% your fault.
I should have been wearing a Mississippi State jersey there when I was at that band competition. That'd guarantee a win for us. Missouri jersey's cursed, man. It's just got some bad whammer jammer on it.
LSU beat Florida 30-27.
I didn't see a bit of that game.
I was whipping back and forth.
It had to have been, just from what I understand, the highest scoring ugly game ever. Was that fair?
Yeah, it's pretty fair.
And did LSU do something fluky to win at the end or something, or just?
Oh sure. Well, again, it was Florida. They had Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. That was
Yeah.
LSU. They gave the ball to Fournette, 30 times.
There you go, Les.
So they kind of figured out what they're doing, but. They kind of got it together as the game went along. But again, it's the Florida offense. They gave up 27 points to that crappy Florida offense.
So when Alabama and LSU play each other, by that point, it's just going to be Fournette and Henry, like 45 carries each, isn't it? It's going to look like the Bo and Herschel Georgia-Auburn game from like 1983.
That's what it should be. But it won't. Alabama's going to pace them. So
yeah, that's true.
Louisiana Monroe at Kentucky. Kentucky crushed them. Hey, you ready for this?
The University of Kentucky fighting ringers.
your second best team in the SEC East right there.
Is who?
Kentucky.
Oh, I thought they were the best, so I'm shocked that
they're demoted. No, I mean, Georgia's the best. Kentucky is the second best.
Have Georgia and Kentucky played each other yet?
No.
Oh, look out.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
All right. UT Chattanooga, you know, lost to Tennessee, and then Vanderbilt beat Charleston Southern by 1 point.
What the crap? What is the deal?
They're so bad. They are so bad.
How does Vandy barely beat UMass and barely meet? I mean, Vandy schedules cupcakes that are like Vandy cupcakes. There's an Auburn cupcake, which is like a good Louisiana directional school. Then there's a Vandy cupcake, which is a team that you didn't even know fielded a Division III football team, i.e. UMass and Charleston Southern.
That's fair.
I mean, Vandy played Georgetown this year. Johns Hopkins.
Well, here's the other thing is, why don't we get this freaking Vandy team?
When we
played them, they were really good.
I know. The last two times we've played Vandy, we absolutely sucked, and they had good teams.
Yes.
And they still barely beat us.
We never get this Vandy.
No.
Come on.
Golly, unbelievable.
All right.
Another reason we need to be in the East.
She got that right. Upcoming SEC games for this week.
We would be cruising to Atlanta right now if we were in the East.
We'd win the East by two games.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, Texas A&M at Alabama. How do you feel about that?
This, John, let's go ahead and lock up Alabama. This is my
cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
So, I'm going to do it. I'm locking up Alabama over Texas A&M. What do you think? Am I crazy?
Is this because you're 0-2 on locks and you're trying to curse them?
It wouldn't hurt. Hey, it works either way. If I'm right, hey, look, I got one right finally. And if I'm wrong, I just put the big hex on Bama, which is a good thing at any time.
I don't think Texas A&M could stop them. I think Alabama's going to move the ball on them and score a bunch of points. But at the same time, I don't think Alabama's secondary is great either. And I think A&M's going to throw for a bunch of yards. So I think it's going to be neither one of these teams is nearly as good as they were a year or two ago, but it's still going to be entertaining.
Well, let's put it this way. When you started explaining to me how the Arkansas game actually went, I just assumed that Alabama got off the bus in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I thought that Arkansas was just like playing solo, you know, the first half.
No, Arkansas was ahead for a long time.
Oh, my gosh. So I got to stick with it, especially since I used my spiffy new sound effect there. But wow. Okay. Boy, A&M's going to be challenging LSU for the bottom of the conference division, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
All right. Georgia at Arkansas. The first of three East meets West games.
Oh, Piggy, please take down the Dogs. I want them to lose so bad. I'm just so anti-Georgia at this point, it's not even funny. What do you think?
I think they got a shot. I mean, I think it's going to be a good game. I think the way they played against Alabama last week gave them a lot of confidence. And, Georgia's been hearing about how great they are all week. I think this is going to be a good game.
Does Georgia want to be the first team to finally actually lose to Arkansas? I mean, Arkansas's got to feel snake bit because they've come so close all season.
Yeah.
Even the first half against us, right? And yet they still haven't gotten over the hump.
So, no, I think they got a shot. I think Georgia probably should be favored, but I think Arkansas has a chance to win. All right, Missouri at Florida.
Oh, good God. This is our – if we had a sound effect for it, this might be the dumpster fire of the week.
Yeah, it's like two blind guys pillow fighting or something. All right.
While the pillows are on fire.
That's right. Tennessee at Ole Miss. Tennessee's secretly not terrible, but not good either. But I have no way they're going to win at Ole Miss, though. And then Kentucky at LSU.
Kentucky at LSU. They've got a chance, but I don't know about going up against less in Death Valley. What do you think? I mean, I'll take LSU by like two.
Yeah, I think Kentucky could steal that. I really do.
Oh, I do maybe too. I think they could, but
I think this is a much more even matchup than anybody ever thought it would be.
You're getting on that Kentucky horse and go
ride that sucker. I am. I'm telling you, they got good coaches. They have better players, and they believe they're going to be competitive in these games.
Have they only got one loss, two losses?
They had one loss.
That was that overtime thing with Florida.
Yes, when they should have won. When the official blew the call, they should have beaten Florida.
Wow, they could be undefeated Kentucky right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Mississippi State versus Kentucky for the SEC championship. Dear God, what has it come to?
They're not terrible.
I'm sure that the Atlanta Merchant Society is just like on overjoyed at the thought of the tens of Mississippi State and Kentucky fans descending. Well, actually, Kentucky has a huge fan base if they can translate over from the hoops to they're
rushing to put their deposit down for the SEC basketball tournament.
That's true. And then Furman, South Carolina, do I see? The Furman Paladins. Yeah, well, South Carolina is getting a little tune-up before they play us, so.
That's right.
That's fine. Maybe Spurrier can convince Furman to run the zone read and give a little look ahead. I don't know. Well, that was quite a slog, but we got through it all. Any last thoughts as we put this one to bed, along with like my family?
I mean it was a frustrating game. It was a game Auburn could have won, but they didn't. And I think it's really a great time for a bye week. They're going to get it together, and I think the teams can play much better down the stretch. And I feel like the down the stretch schedule doesn't scare me as much now as it did a couple months ago. I mean, Texas A&M is worse, and I'm not as scared of Georgia or Alabama. Really, Ole Miss is a game now. Like you said, that's their defense is really, really good. So,
yeah, I think the question is going to be if we can hold Bo Wallace in check in that game, then we know we can stop their running game, and then it just becomes a matter of how many points can we score against their defense.
Right, that game could be like 21-20 or something.
Yeah.
All right, but otherwise, I mean, frustrating. It was a tough loss, and at the same time, I have to say, like, I lived in Mississippi for like 5 years, and two of my children were born there. So I went to a bunch of games at Oxford and at Starkville, and I know a bunch of Ole Miss and State fans. So outside of the whole, they're in our same division, I'm genuinely happy for them.
Sure.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm happy for their fan base, and I'm happy for the, people that supported those programs through all those terrible years. They got a long way to go, and I think Auburn, with the schedule we have, we'll be fine. We just keep on playing well.
It must have been quite a cathartic release for Mississippi State fans after they won that game, because I'll tell you, all week long, I was sensing just a whole lot of years of frustration and anger and resentment and jealousy that was pent up inside of them every time they looked or even thought about Auburn.
Sure.
And it all kind of came out. And so I imagine that they must have felt really, really good when that was over, because they sure did throw a lot of bile our way in the days leading up to that game.
That's fair. But, the big thing is, now can they handle success? They're number one. A game day was there. They won all those games. I really think it's good for them to have a week off, because if Mississippi State had to play next week, they'd have a problem. But, 2 weeks from now, they got to play at Kentucky. So.
Yeah. So
the CBS game, as we all predicted, Mississippi State at Kentucky.
You're kidding.
No.
Wait, is that 1 week or 2 weeks, as you
said? It's 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now.
But we already know it's the CBS game?
Yes, they announced it this afternoon.
Oh, good gosh. Mississippi State, Kentucky is your CBS game.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I feel like Bugs Bunny took that wrong turn at Albuquerque. This is like this am bizarro universe. Down am up. Bad am good. Kentucky, Mississippi State on CBS.
The first of two, the rematch of the SEC title game.
Oh, gosh. Well, now that I know that Kentucky has to play Mississippi State, you can go ahead and scratch them off that list of contenders in the East, because they're going to go ahead and get them a loss coming up in 2 weeks.
We'll see.
All right. I don't mean to go against your new adopted team there. So.
All right.
Tell me one more thing. How long did the agonizing or the anger or frustration or whatever you felt after that game, how long did it last before it kind of let up? Because for me, it was about 2 hours ago. I'm okay. I'm okay now, but up to about 2 hours ago, I was still like,
not that long for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it again some today, and it kind of came back a little bit, but
well,
you know,
I'm a flawed human being, John, but I make no apologies.
No, listen, we're college football fans. It's insanity. It's, you know, it is what it is. So,
all right, let's wrap it up. Put it to bed.
Yep.
Our time is up, ladies and gentlemen. As always, we thank you so much for yours. War Eagle, John, and we'll get them next time.
War Eagle, babe.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.